Why don't you open your Bibles to Mark chapter 3. I'm going to pray, and then we are going to get after the end of chapter 3. I almost stole the title of this message from John Piper. And I'm going to tell you first what I actually called this today. It's this: How to Become Jesus Family. How to Become Jesus Family. Slightly less provocative than John Piper's title, which was How to Become Jesus Mother. That one will get your thinking, right? How to Become Jesus Mother. It's like, what? Really? Now, if you know anything about John Piper, he's a legit guy. This isn't like, let's become Mary. We haven't just discovered some new stream of Mariology, and we're all going to try to become the mother of God. I think it'll make sense to you when we read the text. Let me pray, and then we'll read it. Father, open our eyes to the riches of your word. Open our hearts to what you want to build into us as a church family. Even as we look at this passage of scripture, I pray you would inspire us and challenge us. Let us hear difficult words and at the same time guard our hearts from legalism. That you would lead us well by your Spirit. And we're trusting you and believing you to do that. Lead us forward in faith as a church family. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to look at verse 20 and 21, and then we're going to skip down to 31. And I'll just read it, and then we'll put it in context. Then he went home, and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. This is Jesus and his disciples, could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he is out of his mind. Now skip down to verse 31. If you want to get the rest of the context there, we talked about the passage in between this last week. So verse 31, and his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers, some manuscripts add in there, and your sisters are outside seeking you. And he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? You might be thinking, oh, he really is going crazy. And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Okay. So now you probably already go, oh, okay, now I get it. This is what it means to become the mother of God. Good to just let Jesus explain himself, right? So his mother and his brothers, and maybe his sisters, have come to seize Jesus and to take charge of him. You ever wanted to do that? Jesus, I feel like we need to take charge of you because what you are doing is not what we want you to be doing. I want you to be doing what I want you to be doing. Well, Jesus' mother and brothers and sisters come down to take charge of him, to seize him, and probably to take him home. We got to get a hold of this guy. They believe he's out of his mind. It's not just the religious scholars who think Jesus is tripping. His own family thinks he's going crazy. Just imagine this. You're Jesus. Your family thinks you have mental health issues. Your family thinks you've gone off your rocker. And they're like, I think Jesus has a Messiah complex. Hint, he is the Messiah. But It's okay. You can think you're the Messiah if you actually are. None of the rest of us get to do that. So they arrive and they summon Jesus from outside the house. If you go look at the Synoptic Gospels and you read through, Luke has this story. Matthew has this story. Matthew makes a point that they couldn't get in because there are so many people gathered at the home. And they couldn't get in, so they sent a messenger in. But Mark emphasizes the point that they remain outside. Mark wants us to hear this. The family remains outside and they send word to Jesus and they summon him, expecting Jesus to obey and come to them. We'll get back to that. I want you to take one more little thing here. Several little things are going to come out in this passage. Jesus and his disciples are gathered in a home. They're not in a religious building. They're in a home. And this home is so jam-packed with people that his family has a hard time getting in. But I just love the fact they're hanging out together in a home. Jesus is probably instructing them. They're sitting around him. Now, this doesn't disqualify a larger church gathering by any means. Jesus was teaching his disciples in a home. Therefore, we all need to go home church. That's the way to do it. That's the answer. It has to be the answer, home church. Well, they also would teach. He would teach in the synagogues. The early church, we know from Acts chapter 2, they would gather in the temple as well as from house to house. They would do both. They weren't afraid of the big gathering. They weren't afraid of the home gathering. They did both. What's important here is the relational nature of Jesus' ministry. Jesus is sitting around with his disciples, or he might be standing, and they're all sitting around listening to him teach. Probably not like this. Even though we're in a small room, we tried to start arcing these chairs just to make it a little less formal. But the room's only so wide, it's kind of hard to really arc things well. But we're looking at how can we do this? Everything about what we do, even in this room, how can we make it relational? And quite honestly, if we can't, throw the room out and let's go somewhere else. And if we need to do it in a home, like what Jesus is doing here in Capernaum, he's hanging out in a home teaching, fine. But Jesus has there's a relational nature to what he's doing that must be a part of ours. I just want you to hear that. There's this wonderful, beautiful relational element where they're packing out this home, sitting around listening to Jesus. And he actually says, "This is my family. This is my mother. This is my brother. This is my sister." Imagine sitting in a room like that where Jesus looks at you and says, "This is my family." This is deeply relational. This isn't like super highly structured church life. It's relationship with Jesus and with one another. And I'm going to say this. If there's anything I'm committed to building, and I would challenge us to be committed to building together, it's that. Relational church life with Jesus and us as friends. So Jesus goes after some things in a very short passage we're going to hit. There's only going to be two main points on the screen today. What Jesus' family isn't, and what Jesus' family is. And then we're going to tap into some quotes from some scholars that I respect a lot. But here's what Jesus' family is not. It'll show up on the screen saying, Jesus' family does not. The first is this. Jesus' family, when he says, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And he looks around at everybody and says, "Here are my mother and brothers." Well, gosh, mom and brothers and sisters are standing outside the house. What do you mean, "Who are my mother and brothers?" You want to be the family of God, the mother of God. It just sounds really weird to say that. You want to be the mother of God? Change your name to Mary. Don't do that. You don't stay on the outside. And you don't keep yourself at a distance. If you stay on the outside and keep yourself at a distance and wait for Jesus to come to you, you find yourself on the outside feeling a little left out. Jesus doesn't say, my mother and my brothers are outside the door. He says, my mother and my brothers are right here. The second thing Jesus' family does not do is you do not get to summon Jesus. You do not get to have authority over Jesus. You don't get to tell Jesus. We don't get to tell Jesus how we want everything to look in our lives. And, you know, Jesus, I need to take charge of you. I need you to come over here and I need you to do this. It's his mom, right? I mean, come on. She changed his diapers. She fed him meals. She was with him when he's growing up and his voice is changing. He's going through puberty. She's with him. His little brothers, because Jesus is the older brother, oldest brother in the family. His younger brothers are coming with mom to take charge of big brother and get him home. We don't get to do that. We don't get to say to Jesus, you're out of line. And you need to do what I want you to do. If you're trying to get Jesus to do what you want to do in life, you're going to find yourself feeling on the outside looking in. So notice this. They go summon Jesus. Jesus hears their word, their summons, and they want Jesus to obey them. So they're asserting the family authority over Jesus. We can do this in the church. I'm a charismatic, unashamedly a charismatic. And I've been in lots of prayer meetings where we are, it's like calling down Jesus. Jesus, this needs to happen in the earth, and we're putting a claim on you. Make it happen. I'm sorry. We don't get to do that. We don't get to tell Jesus how to be Jesus. And we don't get to tell Jesus how to be the Messiah. He's quite capable of being God. And we do well to put ourselves in submission to Jesus. I'm not saying don't have faith for things and don't go for things in the kingdom of God. I do that too. Hang out with me when we pray and you'll see me going for things and going, yeah, yes. But it's in submission to who Jesus is, in submission to the sovereignty of God. Does that make sense? Yeah? Makes sense to Randy Simon. Okay, I'm going to preach to Randy. So what do you do? I just wrote several questions down. Some of them will come up on the screen. I'm not sure if all of them will. How do you respond when the call of family and obedience to God's call diverge? Jesus had a very specific calling. God had appointed him. God the Father had appointed God the Son. And Jesus is doing his Father's will, but mom isn't happy about it. How do you respond? I mean, that's a real question. This isn't like a big theological think about this. How do you respond when the call of family or the demands of family diverge with the actual call of God on your life? That's a real thing. And right along the lines of that, if everybody who has kids, it doesn't matter if they're 3-year-olds or 13-year-olds or 23-year-olds, parents, can you let your children learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and the leading of God? How can you I think in the scripture that says, raise up a child or train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. Ever heard that? If you raise up, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. There's not a promise in there that your child may not have some years of straying and figuring some things out and making some mistakes. But when you raise them up and train them up in the way they should go, there is this. When they're old, when they mature, they'll walk in that way. But it can be difficult. Jesus' mom has a difficulty here of letting Jesus be who his father, God the Father, has called him to be. So it's good for us to evaluate that. Moms, as your kids are growing up. Dads, as your kids are growing up, and they may not be doing everything you want them to do. Can you make room and put into them a training so that they learn to hear and obey the voice of God? Now, I'm not preaching a whole message on this is exactly how we lay that out today. I'm just preaching the text. So how are your children learning to discern the difference between what mom and dad desire and what God desires? If we don't teach them that mom and dad aren't the Holy Spirit, then when they grow up and they step out of your home, it happens to all of us, right? Hopefully. The Brooks have just made a transition this week. And Mike has gone off into college. And it's a big kind of faith step for mom and dad as you send those kids out, right? And you know, and this, okay, so this isn't a direct at anybody, not at the Brooks. There are no perfect parents. Oh! Every one of us as parents, we have flaws, we have weaknesses, we have sins. Sorry, kids, I just exposed all of your parents as imperfect. But we have to trust God and say, God, we're entrusting our kids to you. And how we prepare them to walk out the door matters. Jesus, he had to learn the voice of God. He had to learn the voice of his Father. And he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man as he grew up. And he had to learn to hear the voice of his Heavenly Father. And he steps out of his mom's home and out into the world, and there's disagreement here from mom about how he is following the will and the call of God in his life. In fact, she doesn't think it is. She thinks he's crazy. His brothers think he's crazy. We have a responsibility as parents to teach the kids how to hear the voice of God for themselves so that when they step out into the world on their own, they have learned to follow the leading of God. Now, in all of that, what I'm trying to lay in is I understand there are no perfect parents in here. We have all made mistakes. We all can go, oh, I wish I had done a better job at that. I wish I was doing a better job at that. Oh, Jesus, help me do a better job at that. At really teaching my kids to hear your voice, not just my voice. And they know how to obey me when I'm around, but then what happens when I'm not? Adult children, is your family heritage competing with the call to build the family of God? There are draws on our time. There are demands on us. And the closer you live in proximity to your family, your natural family, the more the pressures are for your life to revolve around all of the family traditions. True? true? I've heard it multiple times where people say, we live about, you know, 2-3 hours from our family, and that's the perfect distance so that I don't have to be at every Sunday expectation of the family, and yet I can still get to them for important things. I hope that we can learn a healthy balance with our own church family and our natural families. Because the last thing we want, and I wrote this in my notes, note, no one has the right to expect a cultish abandonment of family for the sake of church or mission. Right? Yeah. We don't want to put some kind of a weirdness like, dude, you missed the potluck? I think, I'm not sure you're still going to heaven. I don't know. You can't, you know, you're like, you took a vacation and you were gone on Sunday. It's like, shame on you. Shame on you. You even went to Sturgis, for crying out loud. Bikers. Oh, what, I mean, we could get really weird about it. But we're really wise, guys, we're really wise to evaluate the demands and expectations that family or close friends can put on us to not get too involved with church life. Or don't get too involved with the call of God, because it might mess up your career. You might make less money if you follow the will of God instead of, you know, becoming fill in the blank. I remember my dad talking to me when I was a kid, and he said, John, whatever you do, do not become a pastor. Don't go into the ministry as a profession. Don't go to seminary and like, this is my route. Like, you're going to be a doctor, so you go to med school and you do all this stuff and you do this. He said, don't go to Bible college. Don't go to seminary. Because it's a career path. A part of it, he was like, because it really doesn't pay well. Right? So that was a real thing. But he said, John, it has to be a calling. If God's not calling you to it, don't do that. Just because it's like the family occupation, the family business or something. Don't do that. Now, what my dad's advice to me was, go to med school. It's a good career. You'll make money. Like, do that. I realized really quickly I was kind of squeamish, and the idea of doing surgery on somebody and going, oops, was really scary to me. And the idea of, you know, first I wanted to be a radiologist because they dealt with x-rays and all this stuff. And I was like, ooh, that sounds really cool. And then I found out all the other stuff they had to do. And I was like, oh, I don't think I could do that. And my dad's like, you should do it because it's good money. And he's just being a good dad. Like, do it. He goes, you're wired for it. You've got the... And I was like, I like to play music. I like to play my guitar and the drums. So I went to music school. The other job that we joke about. I have a music degree. Would you like fries with that? Sorry, other music degree people. That's the music performance degree. That's the joke. I have a music performance degree. Would you like fries with that? So we want to follow the will and the purpose and the plan of God. And when it's about the career or the income, we've actually already slipped off center. What is God calling us to do? How is God calling us to build? How is he wanting us to lead our lives? Jesus wasn't afraid to walk away from the family business. His stepfather, Joseph, that he grew up with as his natural dad and father figure, was a carpenter. And Jesus walked away from this. We'll get to some interesting quotes here in a minute. One that'll mess with your world, mess with mine. So what does Jesus' family do? I'm gonna move ahead. I kind of tangented. We had some fun there, but I tangented. Jesus' family, you say, I want to be the family of God? How can we become the family of God? There's actually no better way than this. Jesus' family desires the will of God and responds to it. It's great. It's not rocket science. Desire the will of God and respond. Jesus says, whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. He just has a way, doesn't he? I'm talking for all this time about this. Jesus has a way in just a few words. Boom, boom, boom. Whoever does the will of God, he's my brother and sister and mother. Now this, we read this, all of us, you're hearing it right now, and we're reading it from a Western mindset and with Western eyes and ears. But just try to put yourself into the context of who Jesus is talking to. And here's a quote from one of my favorites, and I loved it this last couple of days. Ray Lowe always refers to Tom Wright, N.T. Wright, and he's one of my favorites. So listen to this. For Westerners, as we grow up, we develop a circle of friends who know us much better, who spend much more time with us than our parents and siblings. We regard this as normal. But in Jesus' world, it was scandalous. Loyalty to family was the local and specific outworking of loyalty to Israel as the people of God. Break the link and you've undermined a major pillar in the way Jews of the first century think and feel about the world and themselves. Family solidarity was up there with Sabbath observance, the food laws, and other signs of Jewish identity. Jesus just makes matters worse. He slices through the whole traditional structure in one clean cut. He has a different vocation, that's a different calling, a different mission, and it involves breaking hallowed family ties. God is doing the unthinkable. He's starting a new family, a new holy people, and is doing so without regard for ordinary human family bonds. Unless you read verses 34 and 35 as deeply shocking, you haven't got the message. Whoa! When he says, mom and brothers and sisters, they're standing outside, and he says to everyone else, this is my mother and my brother and my sisters. This is culture shattering. What? Jesus is not afraid to mess with our boxes. He looks at the crowd around him, those who are sitting at his feet to learn, and he says, here is my mother and my brothers. He flips the scenario. Remember his family? They come and they stand outside and they send word to Jesus and they summon him, expecting him to hear and obey them. And then Jesus says, no. Here's everyone who hears the word of God and does it. He flips it right on its head. His natural family wants him to hear and submit to them. And Jesus says, no, you need to hear and submit. Wow. Those who've gathered to Jesus' calling and who've come to listen and to obey his word are his family. That's cool. It takes a lot of pressure off of you because it doesn't matter if you've got the right pedigree. You come from all the right family line. It doesn't matter if you've been with Grace Church Spokane from day one. Jesus isn't asking you to have all the right family pedigree and to have been around for a really long time. He says, everybody who comes and gathers and wants to respond to the word of God and do it, that's the family. That means you can be family from day one. You don't have to go through months of probationary family-ness. I don't know the right word. And I love that this weekend, Chris and Alex were with us, and Chris said something when we were done. And you asked Chris about it. I felt like I almost wanted to be just like turn the mic over today and say, everybody just talk about what you came away with this weekend. But Chris said this, and I'm paraphrasing it. He said, I felt like God was saying, these are my people and these are your people. Like, get that pretty close? Okay. As he's sitting there and just being ministered to by God, being ministered to by the Spirit, and felt like God was saying, these are my people and they're your people. So we don't put Chris on a probation and say, okay, that's great. We're going to spend quite a while evaluating this. If you really can be part of the people, or if you have to, no, you want to gather like Jesus is gathering his disciples, gather in, come in, hear the word of the Lord and respond to it. You're in. You're in. You're part of the family. It's like I heard Randy Simon say it today. He just met you and he's like, hey, welcome to the family. Right? Welcome to the family. It's really about that simple. Church, you are the family of God. Do you fulfill his word perfectly? I would venture to say, this isn't even a guess. No. Anybody in the room like, yeah. Yeah, you're wrong. Deceived. Anyone among you says you have no sin? Sorry, you're deceived. We've all got areas of sin. We've all got issues in our life. But when we're saying, Jesus, we want to gather to you. We want to gather to your presence. We want to gather to your kingdom. We want to hear and respond and obey your word. Jesus says, that's my mama. That's my bro. That's my sis. Right there. You want to come in, you want to do this family thing, you want to respond to the call of God together. That's it. This is from the Expositor's Bible commentary. I think it will turn up there on the screen. There it is. It can easily be imagined what this statement meant to the original readers of Mark's gospel. As Mark is writing this down, it's for a purpose. In place of broken family relations, ostracism and persecution was the close and intimate relation to the Son of God. Others may reject you. Jesus says, come on in. You get to be part of the family. Now I'm going to come back to John Piper, who I tried to steal the title from. How do you become Jesus' mother? He concludes his talk about this, saying this. So to be the mother of Jesus is obey God and you'll be the mother of Jesus. What does that mean? Be the mother or sister or brother of Jesus. And doesn't it mean you will be as close to him as you can get? Your intimacy of relationship will be very, very close. There will be privileges. There will be access. There will be protection. Now he goes on. I'm going to read you more. This won't be on the screen. He says, it's wonderful to have a big brother who's strong when you are getting in a fight on the playground. It's wonderful if you're watching your son die to have him care for you and put John in charge of you because he's a good caregiver to his mother. That's what Jesus did. You go look at John 19, 26 and 27. He's dying in extreme agony, and he's making sure his mom is taken care of. You want Jesus to be a good caregiver to you? Then become the mother or the brother of Jesus by obeying the will of God. Last quote, and we're going to wrap this up. Back to Tom Wright. The call to be around Jesus, to listen to him, even if those outside, which might be your natural family even, think us crazy, is what matters. The church in every generation and in every place needs to remember this and act on it. The gospel and allegiance to Jesus produce a division, often an unexpected and an unwelcome one, in every group or society where they make their way. Mark's call to his readers then and now is to stick with Jesus, whatever the cost. The challenge to follow Jesus means saying no to some other things. It might mean saying no to mom. And that's what it meant to Jesus here. Saying no to the demand of family, because Jesus' call is to build the family of God. And as we say, hey, we want to build a New Testament church. We want to build a family of God. It means saying no to some things, and it means going after some things. And not everybody likes it. That's okay. The cost is sometimes high, and that's okay. Let's go to the final slide. Duh. Let's follow the call of God together as a family on Christ's mission. Gather to his presence and purpose. It's not rocket science. Let's follow God together. Let's follow the mission and the purpose of Jesus together. I love that the house was jam-packed full of people who were saying, yeah, we want to follow you. And it meant they're jammed in that house together. When we together say yes to Jesus, it naturally draws us together. It has a way of overflowing the house. Now, sometimes it has a way of emptying out the house. I'm not saying there's not difficult times, and there aren't times when one family goes this way and another family goes this way, and both families are saying yes to the call of God. That happens. In fact, when you're a part of an apostolic people moving into cities and nations and neighborhoods together, sometimes it means families have to go, one has to go this way and one has to go this way, because God's heart is for the city. His heart is for the nation. His heart is for the nations. So this isn't like we have to just cluster and never scatter. It's okay. That has to happen sometimes too. But let's just pause for a minute. I want you to, I say pause. Just, if you're willing, just close your eyes. You can bow your head if you want. But just close your eyes between you and the Lord. Are you following the call of God? Is his call and the mission of Christ at the center of your life? Are you gathered to his presence? Are you gathered to his purpose? Or are you still struggling with that fight of the call of others or what others on the outside are thinking? Lord, we want to follow your call. We want to follow what you're calling us to do. We want to build what you're calling us to build. We want to build the way you're calling us to build, even with this relational of Jesus drawing the disciples together in a home. Just that relational togetherness gathered around the presence of Christ. We want to build that way. Lord, would you shake us loose of anything that's not building that way? It's a dangerous prayer to pray if you say that. Lord, shake me loose of anything that's not building that way. If there's things that need to fall off of my life so that I can walk the way you want me to walk, and I can respond to your word, I can respond to your lead, then Lord, I submit it to you. If there's things I need to lay down so that I can do what you're calling me to do, I submit that to you. Father, again, we thank you that Jesus hasn't demanded some kind of a perfection from us so that we can obey and follow him, but that he calls us as we are. Thank you that in our flaws and our weaknesses and our past failings and even the future ones, Jesus hasn't discounted us or disowned us. We get to be a part of the family. So I pray for every family here, every individual that is here, Lord, that you would root them in to your kingdom purpose and your family of God in the place where they best fit. I pray that for every family that calls Grace Church their home, and for those that don't, Lord, root us in to your kingdom purpose and to your will.